Well, good morning, everyone. Just hold your applause to a minimum. I as well would like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers. And we found out just recently that we're going to be great-grandparents. So I know I don't look that old, but no. But she's a step-granddaughter, and she's going to be having a baby, I think, in December. But anyway, that's certainly a blessing. Well, I wanted to say thank you for all your prayers. You know, I had the recent shoulder surgery. Just yesterday they started active range of motion where I can start lifting myself. But, you know, I've been doing that anyway, so I haven't been really keeping to my protocol. But, you know, here I used to be a therapist or am a therapist, and I don't follow my own protocol or whatever. Anyway, it's good to be here. Good to see all of you, your smiling faces. I guess we have some from the West Coast and other places, so welcome as well. Well, I am nobody's friend. I have no respect for justice. I maim and injure, I break hearts, and I ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless in the face of my attacks. Victims can't protect themselves against me because, you see, I have no name and I have no face. So that excludes me. But to track down me is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments. I ruin marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, headache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and I generate grief. I make headlines and I also cause headaches. Who am I? What am I? I am simply gossip. You know, I'm all kinds of gossip. Party gossip, telephone gossip, e-gossip, school gossip, neighborhood gossip, work gossip, and maybe the worst of all, church gossip. These words tell a lot about the seriousness and damage that can occur through gossip. Some words that can lead to the spread of gossip that we hear from time to time, we might hear people say. These words comprise the title of our message today. Guess what I heard? What about the phrase that we've all heard? We probably have all spoken it from time to time. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? Of course, we all know it's simply not true. We know that words can and do hurt us. Words can do tremendous damage. Harmful words can cut deep and cause lasting, gangrenous, and unhealable wounds. As carnal human beings, we all at times have had trouble controlling our tongue, haven't we? We all say things that maybe we regret, that we would like to take back. But in the case of gossip, that's impossible to do. Look at the political elections and how the tongue, an instrument God gave us as a tool to communicate with, is used to smear and put down the other person, the opponent. Candidates spread rumors, innuendos, and they slander the other candidate to hopefully in return to what? Get more votes. And they want more votes at the expense of someone else. Well, today we're going to see what's God's view of gossip. Is gossip acceptable in his eyes? How does he feel about it? We'll also examine why we gossip. What is the cause of gossip? What is the effect of gossip in our lives? And finally, we answer the all-important questions. How do we get rid of gossip? How do we stop it? Before we answer these questions, let's first define or answer the question, just what is gossip? Well, here are some definitions. There's many definitions of gossip. I'll just read through a few. Gossip is communicating unnecessary information at the possible cost of the character or reputation of another. It's using the tongue as an underground radio station. It's sharing information about another without their presence or without their consent. It's a three-way conversation with one-third missing. It's unauthorized meddling, sometimes masqueraded as spiritual concern. It's discussing anything about another, the context of which would be altered if that person was present. It's a vial of poison waiting to be released into the body of Christ or any group. It's anything true or untrue shared about another which is unauthorized or unnecessary. Gossip is an unacceptable intrusion into someone's privacy at the expense of their reputation. Now, I'm sure we could come up with more. There's more definitions we could come up with. But I think these give us a good idea of how to define gossip. What is gossip comprised of? Now, of course, gossip isn't something new. It's not a new invention of modern society. God's word is filled with scriptures and principles warning us about gossiping tongues. We'll look at some of those a little bit later. But first, with gossip being defined, we need to see what is the root cause of gossip. To begin with, let's turn to a familiar verse back in Jeremiah 17. You probably already know where I'm going. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, God's watching our heart, brethren. He's searching our heart. He's testing our heart to see where we are. What are we going to do? Are we going to do good works or bad works, especially with our tongue? He's doing that to get an idea of how to reward us, possibly in the future for our deeds and the way that we live our life on a daily basis. How do we treat one another? How do we befriend our neighbor? How do we help take care of people and visit people and look after them? You see, our human heart, our human attitude and approach are basically wicked. We are carnal in nature. Our mind is enmity against God. Only after we are in contact with God and we have the power of God's Holy Spirit imbued in us and working through us, only then can we begin to do the things which honor and please God. So it boils down to is this, that the wicked heart that directly and explicitly affects the tongue. Our heart, what comes out of our heart, we're going to speak. What's in our heart? Begin turning, if you will, to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. One minister tells a story. He was a friend of mine. He's in another area, but a church area about this one person that was misusing her tongue. The information, or in her case, the gossip, that she was insisting on spreading among the church brethren was causing serious problems. It was causing divisions within the church. This one little old lady pretty much was tearing up and dividing the local congregation. She was close to making everyone mad to some degree or another at each other. Some of the leadership had spoken to her about it with no effect. So the pastor had to talk with her, and her response was, "Well, you don't have to worry about me saying anything bad ever again, because I'm just not going to say anything to anybody. I'll just keep to myself." You know, how do you like that? That was her response. You see the problem here? What's wrong with her response? What's the main point she's missing or overlooking? What is she failing to see about her own self? And what are we failing to see sometimes about ourselves? Of course, the problem was she wasn't interested in trying to correct the problem. She didn't see yet that there even was a problem, that she had a problem. She wasn't going to try to change her heart, and thus she was missing the whole point. She had no intention on getting to the root cause and effect of what she was doing, not only to herself, but to everyone in a congregation. She was going to show this congregation, you know, like I said, she'll just be quiet and keep to herself. She's like, huh, I'll show them. Now, fortunately, this story has a happy ending. She eventually saw the error of her ways and was able to make some changes in her life and bridle and control her tongue, which definitely made everyone happy in the congregation. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't even go there. Matthew 12, and we'll read verses 34 and 35. Here Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, you know, or a generation means a brood or, you know, people that are a part of one family at some level or another. It says, O generation of vipers, you know, snakes maybe, hissers. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. As we see here, the cause of gossip, the cause of the misuse of the tongue, comes from within, brethren. It comes from our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's look at Matthew 15 now. Matthew 15 and verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus again says, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. And our mouth generally speaks. Says what's inside of us, what's in our hearts, what do we concentrate on, what's in our minds. Those are the things that we speak about. We all will sooner or later reveal what's in our heart from the words that we speak, from our actions that we do, or the lack thereof. From what we utter with our mouths will depict to others what's in our heart. Let's look at one more verse under this area of the cause of gossip. In James 4, we'll read verses 10 through 12. The Apostle James is writing to the brethren at this point, and he tells them in verse 10 of James 4, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Of course, this should be one of our goals in life, to trust in God. To humble ourselves before God, you know, and let God lift us up. Isn't it true that people in general gossip to put others down and to artificially lift others, lift up or exalt themselves? But they also do it in a way to put others down, so then in the end it makes them look better. We mentioned this earlier, but isn't this a tactic used by politicians to try to put other people down so that they can look better to what? Get more votes. Going on in verses 11 and 12, Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Who are we to judge each other? It's our place to be humble before God and then let God lift us up. You know, promotion comes from God. God does the exalting. Try not to do it ourselves. Let God do the exalting. We only make things worse for ourselves when we try to do it ourselves, when we try to lift ourselves up. Sooner or later, as we interact with one another, we'll say things that serve no purpose to edify or to unite. And, brethren, that's what that's all about. You know, Mr. Kubik wrote the letter, the member letter, about the importance of unity. And, brethren, we have to have unity within the body of Christ. And gossip is one thing that can divide us. It can kill, murder a whole congregation if we let it out of control. So, in fact, we'll do just the opposite. Our tongues will be used to tear down and divide rather than to lift up. That's not what God wants, and James warns us of that here in these few verses. So as the root cause of gossip, we have to look deep within ourselves to see things from our viewpoint. Look within ourselves, that we speak what's in our heart, that it be good and lifting up and edifying, and that we have to be humble and allow God to do lifting up and to do the exalting. How do we recognize gossip? You know, what does it look like? How do we know someone is gossiping? What shape does it have? What does it sound like? How do we know that what we might be listening to and hearing and being an audience to could be gossip? Brethren, gossip is one of the most dangerous sins because it is so subtle and ambiguous. Many are unable to recognize it. And sometimes when that happens, we get caught up in that vortex of gossip, spreading rumors and innuendos about people. Especially when it's ourselves doing the gossiping. We need to watch and be on alert against gossip. Whenever you hear of secret information being circulated, or if you hear someone else's name is used in a conversation, you know, we should, you know, hightail it in the opposite direction. Gossip exists whenever persons talk about others in less than a favorable way. The root of gossip is negativity. It's not positive. Most of the time, gossip is saying something negative about others, you know, which we've already learned it comes from the heart. It's judgmentalism, slander, and things like that. So it's, if you hear this, it's more than likely gossip. Gossip often masquerades as concern for others. Rumors or gossip will seem more palatable if they first hide behind a pretentious expression of concern. Someone might come to you and say, you know, I hate to say something about this to you, but I'm really concerned about so-and-so. Now, that person may indeed be concerned, but is this the correct method or way to show it? At other times, a gossip will seek you out as their confidant to unload their heavy heart about their concerns. Their words might be, I'm very troubled about so-and-so, and I don't know who else to talk to about it. See, you see what where they're heading? They're trying to get you to reveal or to give you information to get you caught up in the gossip. Brethren, don't take the bait. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into that vortex, that hydraulic of gossip. Don't run the opposite direction. Because once you're in that vortex, just like a whirlpool, it's hard to get out of. In reality, the gossip is not sincerely concerned about the solving the problem, only in talking about it. Stirring things up, stirring the pot. A gossip thrives on the negative, on the controversial, and the sensational. They sensationalize everything. It's more interesting and more enticing that way to everyone else if they sensationalize it. The gossip is like a spider spinning a web looking for prey to lure into their trap, the web of gossip. They may confide in your secrets or private concerns about other people, but we need to be careful because In consolement, we might express our half-hearted agreement with their concerns, or we may even be enticed to confide our own secret concerns to them about this person. Then when that happens, you're part of the conversation. And subsequently, that gossip will eventually repeat the process with someone else. And the next time they do, whose name gets added to the conversation? Yours. They'll add your name as an endorsement of their issues. Well, so-and-so said this, you know, and I believe them, and everything you happen to say to them, and on it goes. Now, there are certain times when people need to confide their own problems with a close friend whom they feel they can trust, but avoid revealing anything to a person who gossips. At a gossip, they can't be trusted. A person who gossips will betray your confidence. Sooner or later, it never fails. It'll never fail. Mark, highlight those words. So what are the side effects of gossip? Probably one of the best ways to learn that lesson of not to be a gossip is to personally feel the effects of it. As we read in Proverbs 18, verse 8, let's go there. Sometimes feeling the effects of gossip can really make an impression on us that, man, I'm going to stay away from that. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. What does that mean? That implies deep wounds. The words of a talebearer or a gossip. Adam Clark refers to the talebearer as one who whispers, who is a busybody, or a meddling croaker. Are you a meddling croaker? When someone whispers, when you see people whispering in the corner, doesn't it maybe the thought run through your mind sometimes, why are they whispering? Who are they talking about? Are they talking about me? You never know. For some reason, a reason they don't want others to know, they're being exclusive. They only want a certain number of people to be apprised of whatever it is they're talking about. A meddling croaker, you know, that's an interesting phrase. It means one who grumbles or habitually predicts evil or speaks evil about others to others. So a meddling croaker is one who grumbles or habitually predicts evil or speaks evil about others to others. We definitely don't want to be categorized as a meddling croaker, do we? Have you ever known a person like that? Have you ever known a person that's a meddling croaker? Well, if you have, you know their wounds cut deep into the one that allows himself or herself to listen and partake of his or her insinuations. Brethren, Satan thrives on juicy tidbits and half-truths about people. Anything he can stir up in our congregation, he's going to. If someone has the issue of gossip, you know, Satan's going to frequent your door every day. Now, if we've felt the ill and harmful effects of gossip, we can make one of two choices. A, we can have the attitude or approach that, hey, it's been done to me. I had to put up with it. I had to endure it. So I'm going to make sure others have to go through whatever it is that I went through. Why are they any better than me? Or choice B, we can say, it's been done to me and I didn't like the way it felt. I didn't like the way it hurt, the way it made me feel. I didn't appreciate the pain and hurt it caused me and my family, so I certainly don't want to make anyone else feel that way. If this has happened to you, if someone has spread rumors or gossip about you, brethren, as a talebearer, you know, for that, you know, I'm truly sorry, because I know it hurts, and it hurts for a long time. I pray it never happens to any of us, but unfortunately, on occasion, it does. If this has happened to you, if you've been hurt or wounded deeply by gossip, I hope you choose option B. I hope you make the decision to break that cycle. Somewhere, some way, someone has to break that cycle of gossip. If not, it will continue till it destroys everyone in here or where, whatever group it is. Someone has to break that link in the chain so there is no chain any longer. Anyone can break the cycle. A spouse can break the cycle. Parents, children can break the cycle. Employers, employees, bosses, friends. And yes, we as brothers and sisters in Christ certainly can break the chain of gossip. If not, it can destroy our families, our congregation. It doesn't matter who stops it, but someone has to do it. It has to be stopped. Breaking the cycle is not easy. It's not an easy choice to make. And sometimes, like we've already said before, the person may not even know that they have a problem. And that's where leadership can intervene. And that's where also members and friends can intervene in prayer and talking with the people in earnestness and sincere concern for that person. We can't let gossip get a foothold in our congregation, in our lives, because it will divide and destroy every relationship that we have in here, brethren. It will be destroyed. It doesn't matter who, but the gossip has to be stopped. Breaking the sin is not easy. Like I said, it's hard to do. Sometimes for the cycle to be broken, someone may have to go through that hardship, to go through that pain, you know, to feel it, to know what it feels like, to know how to recognize it, and then to stop it. Someone has to be strong enough, someone has to be dedicated enough to stop it here and in that instant that you recognize it. Are we strong enough? Are we dedicated enough? Do we love each other enough? Someone has to decide, I'm not going to inflict that pain on anyone else anymore. Can it be you? Can it be me? Of course it can. But we have to make the choice. It has to require action on our part. And if we're able to do that, if we have the fortitude and spirit-led desire to stop gossip, then the pain we suffered, whatever it is that we have gone through, whatever how we suffered, the brunt of the pain that we suffered, then the pain that we suffered would not have been suffered in vain. Because of what we went through, we were able to recognize gossip, and we were able to intervene out of love for that person and for each and every one of us in here. So be the one to remove a link in the chain so this trend can't and won't continue at you or someone else's, I mean at your or someone else's expense. Another effect of gossip is shown down in verse 17. Staying here in Proverbs 18, let's read verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. Another side effect of gossip is it harms others because it's undefendable testimony. Because it's undefendable testimony. You know, any story that we hear, someone comes to us and tells us something, it may sound perfectly true. They may give different details or whatever, and it sounds true. But is it? Did they get all the facts? This is like being charged, indicted, and tried in court, found guilty, and sentenced without ever being able to give your side of the story. Imagine that. Can you see a judge listening to the plaintiff to give his or her side of the story, and the defendant wants to give his or her side of the story, and the judge says, well, I'm not really interested in what you have to say. I've already made my decision. You know, that's a truly terrible thing, to be able to be tried and sentenced without ever being able to make our input. That's why gossip is so wrong and even deadly, because it only tells one side of the story. In most cases, the other person is not there to tell his or her side of the story. It's a one-sided argument. It's a one-sided discussion with no consideration for the facts. Because remember, a gossip will sensationalize and make tidbits of information, you know, they'll build upon those. It's a three-way discussion with one party missing. If you've ever been a part of a situation like that, where a decision or judgment is made about you and you weren't afforded the opportunity to give your side of the story, it can be a very traumatic experience. So don't make rash decisions or judgments without getting the facts, especially, brethren, when it has to do with one another, with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers, anyone. And most importantly, don't attempt to get all the facts through gossip. Don't try to get all the facts through gossip. Now, you might think you have all the facts, but do you? And are they the whole truth? Have you talked to the other party? Have you ever played the game where someone whispers a sentence in a room and everyone's in a circle, and by the time the sentence gets back to you, it's totally different? You know, that same thing can happen to gossip, and it does. Imagine all the info that gets misconstrued and misspoken to people along the way, and how it can get misspoken. As the longer it goes, as the longer it's allowed to spread, the more people that get involved, the more it's misconstrued, and the more damage is done. If you don't have all the facts, you most certainly aren't qualified, or you have the right to pass on information about other people. And worse yet, what if the information you're passing on is wrong? Imagine what the pain and hurt it can cause. We have to be careful that we don't gossip, much less gossip about someone, and not afford them the opportunity to defend themselves. So what is another effect of gossip? What is another way it can harm or destroy? Please turn just a couple of pages to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Excuse me. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. Gossip can quickly end a friendship. And how terrible that is for friendships to be ended. So a good way to end a friendship is to violate a friend's confidence or destroy a friend's reputation through gossip. When we participate in gossip, we are subscribing to the underground news that has the sole purpose to destroy relationships. That's one reason some people have a lot of trouble building strong friendships and relationships. It's because they don't know how to control their tongue. They allow themselves to be partakers of gossip. They allow themselves to be part of the wrong conversations that can sow strife and distrust to everyone else. It's hard to build strong bonds and lasting friendships when we do that. Now, just a couple of pages, Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Some very wise advice here. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a sin seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very close friends. Here we're being admonished to promote love by not publicizing a fault, especially if it's not going to accomplish anything but harm. If the information is not needed to make a judgment, then why bring it up or make it public? If you choose to repeat the offense or of some quarrel or fault when it should have been long ago forgotten, be prepared, brethren, to lose a close friend. Brethren, we can't afford to lose close friends. Good, close, faithful friends are hard to come by, so we can't afford to lose any. Choose love over gossip anytime. It'll make everybody's situation better in the long run. Another side effect of gossip is that it dissolves peace and causes tension. It dissolves peace and causes tension. Staying here in Proverbs, let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no gossip, the strife or tension ceases. For gossip to be able to continue, to be propagated, to be passed from one person to the next, there has to be a sender and there has to be a receiver. It requires a person to give and a person or persons to receive and to hear the gossip. Be careful not to allow yourself to be a talebearer of the talebearer. In any case, the receiver is just as guilty as the bearer. If they receive it, they listen to it, they take it in, it's in their mind, and then they pass it on. The fact is, if no one will listen to gossip, eventually, just like a campfire, if it doesn't have any wood put to it, it will go out. If no one listens, especially if no one will pass it on, then the gossip will go out. It will fade away. And it doesn't matter if what they say is true. It might be true, but what's their motive? What's the motive behind what they are saying? What is their intent? What is their purpose for spreading the information in the first place? It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't have to be said just because it's true. If it's not edifying in the end, if it's not helpful, then why say it? That's what loving each other is all about, brethren. That's what loving one another does. Will it cause you to lose a close friend or hurt someone intentionally or unintentionally? So don't be a gossip and promote tension in those around you and make them feel uncomfortable. Gossip can and will and does disqualify us from roles of leadership. Gossip can disqualify us from roles of leadership. If we are known in the church, at our work, in our neighborhood, at our school, whatever, if we're known as a gossip, you know, how can we function effectively? How can we work with people in the congregation if myself or anyone else is known as a gossip? I won't be very effective. How will people be able to confide in you or me or any of us? People will be hesitant to be led by a leader that's guilty of being a gossip. Is that what you want? Certainly not. How will others be able to entrust us in confidence if we can't be trusted? In 1 Timothy 3:11, we can read about qualifications of certain leadership roles. Turn there briefly. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3 and verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, not gossipers, sober and faithful in everything they do. You know, it makes perfect sense that if it would be unlikely that God would use someone in a leadership role if that person was an assassinator of people's character, if they were a gossiper, doesn't it make sense that God would not use that person? What kind of tool can we be in the hand of God if we are a gossiper? If we are hurting people, or if we are slandering people, we won't be able to do it. What are we here for? We're here to edify and lift up and learn and grow. We can't be doing something that serves no useful purpose and can be harmful mentally, emotionally, and most certainly spiritually to others, and expect to be used in a leadership role. How serious is gossip? Is there a penalty for gossip? Are there wages to be paid for being a gossip? Actually, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about the penalty of gossip, but let's turn first to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Leviticus 19, verse 16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Eternal." Clearly, God was not talking about, you know, our common social interaction. No, he says, remember a talebearer or someone who goes about spreading rumors or falsities about someone. That's the whole purpose, you know, of certain magazines that you can look at. Hopefully you don't choose to do that, but they're tabloids, Hollywood celebrity shows and magazines. Now there's blogs, channels, YouTube channels, everything to help them earn money and get rich at the expense of others in a lot of cases. The poison goes down deeply and leaves people who read or watch with a feeling of suspicion, a feeling of distrust, and possibly now a dislike for the person or persons. You may not know that much about a person, but you read about something someone says, then you automatically get a negative vibe about that person, don't you? Please turn to Romans 1, verse 29. Here Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's telling them God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why? Romans 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, being filled with fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is ultimately bad character, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventory of evil things, disobedient to parents. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, you know, the inability to appease, unmerciful. And now verse 32, who, knowing the judgment of God, knowing what would be the end result of what they were doing, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they're committing these things, and they have pleasure in it. Here we see God puts backbiting, whisperers, and the like in there with fornication, wickedness, and even murder as having the reward of death. So a gossip is very serious. Look at Psalms 15. Psalms 15, we'll start in verse 1. Psalms 15 and verse 1. Ask the question, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Is that us? Is that talking to us? Certainly is. Who's going to dwell in the presence of God? Who's that going to be? Verse 2, he that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Is that each and every one of us? Do we walk uprightly? Do we obey the laws of God? who do works of righteousness? Do we serve one another? And do we speak the truth from our heart in sincerity and love? So those that would be around God and the family of God will be those that speak the truth from their heart. Verse 3, he that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, this is a type of person that will dwell with God in his kingdom. Is that you and me? Hopefully it is. Verse 4, in whose eyes is a vile person condemned? But he honors them that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. So he that's a backbiter, that continues to practice gossip unrepentant of, will not be in God's kingdom. I would think that's pretty serious business. You know, I know we all want to be in God's kingdom. We can't let something like gossip take us out of God's kingdom. Notice Psalms 50. Psalms 50. And we'll read verse 19 through 21. Psalms 50 shows that sometimes God doesn't act speedily on things. He doesn't punish people right away sometimes, does he? God is very patient. Sometimes he lets the reins out on us a little bit at a time, over a long period of time, to maybe give us an opportunity to change. But in verse 19, you give your mouth to evil, talking to the wicked, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. Hopefully that doesn't apply to us. Hopefully we don't speak evil against our brother or sister. You slander your own mother's son. Who's that? Your brother. We can't slander our son, our brother, our sister. Verse 21, these things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such as one as you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Reminds me of the scripture over in Ecclesiastes that talks about because God does not execute judgment speedily or right away, sometimes people think, well, I've gotten away with it. No, they keep doing the same sin over and over again. God is letting people get away with it, maybe for a purpose, whatever the reason. It's only temporary, because God will punish them. If you look around in a business, some people get ahead by backbiting, don't they? In politics, some people get ahead by backbiting. In religion, some people get ahead by backbiting. These people might think they're getting away with it, but someday God will reprove them. If we think we're getting away with gossip, one way or another, at some point in time, it will come to an end. Just because he doesn't punish them at that very moment doesn't mean they've gotten away with it. Finally, is there a cure for gossip? Is there a remedy or antidote for curing or stopping gossip? Well, certainly one way is to fill your idle time with good works. Be positively productive with our time. You know, gossip is often the fruit of idleness. People may have too much time on their hands. They don't have enough to do. They sit around all day and they wonder what to do. With idle time, one might have the propensity to dabble into areas and activities that would be considered gossip, or at one point they may be even considered a busybody, or just a plain meddler, that croaking meddler. The simple cure for the problem of a gossip is to be busy at work, busy doing good works, serving one another, keeping busy, keeping our minds filled with good, creative, positive things. Fill our time with service projects or just helping one of our family members or a friend or a neighbor or one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have so many people that are having problems and they're ill and they're down and out. They miss us, brethren, and we have to do our part to if we can visit them and call them and encourage them and lift them up. They need that. This will help supplant any idle time where we might have the tendency to do wrong things such as spreading gossip. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. In verse 9, 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton or to turn away from Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Here Paul is saying or describing that some widows in the church might be qualified for special roles in the church, but some others, not so much, because of how they live their life on a daily basis. Some of the younger widows are excluded because they have too much idle time on their hands, and they spend their time going from house to house doing what? Gossiping. The point I want to make here is that idle time can be a snare for gossip, and becoming a busybody will certainly snare us if we allow it to. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Here we learn that even servants of God can fall prey to becoming a busybody if they aren't busy working and being productive and serving one another the way they should. It goes for all of us. So to cure gossip, we need to replace that idle time with work, good works, or some type of service to family, friends, church, or community. You know, we've all heard, I'm sure, the quotation, idle hands are the devil's workshop. It actually is very true. Idle time promotes more types of works of the flesh rather than works of the Spirit. And we need and have to turn that around. Another thing that we can do to stop gossip is not talk to someone who talks a lot. Look at Proverbs. You might like, whoa, that's me. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. The NIV reads this way, a gossip betrays confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. You know, don't get me wrong, you can talk a lot, you can talk much without being a gossip. But the point is that, you know, someone that's going around talking to everybody. The emphasis here is to not listen to someone that flatters or sweet talks with their lips. Be cautious around those that are sweet talkers and seem to always know it all about everyone and everything. They seem to know about everything that's going on. If he or she is always talking, sooner or later, they'll repeat or say something they have no business doing. If you want your secrets to be in safekeeping, if you want your discussions you have with someone to be kept in confidence, don't tell them to a gossip. Because if you do, sooner or later they'll end up all over town. To stop gossip, don't listen to it. To stop gossip, don't listen to it. Turn now, if you will, to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, we read verses 12 and 13. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible reads it this way: a man with good sense holds his tongue, while a gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them. The key to stopping gossip is not only to not participate, but to try to stop it at its source. How do we handle the situation when someone comes up to us and starts to say things about someone or something that we might consider a gossip? Look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. Where no widows in the fire goes out, so where there is no talebearer, where there is no gossip, the strife ceases. As coals are burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know, most people, after a while, if they keep coming to you with gossip, and you slowly cut off the supply, if you slowly cut them off, don't listen to it, then they'll quit coming to you. When that happens, you've done your part to stop the cycle. Now, they may run and tell someone else, but at least you're the one that's doing your part to cease to stop rumors and gossip. You aren't being the fuel to the fire. You're trying to stop it. Just as we shouldn't listen to gossip, we also shouldn't repeat it. If we've already listened to it, don't repeat it. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hate stirs up strifes, but love covers all sin. That's a wonderful statement, brethren, to read. Love covers all sin. Do we have love for one another? Are we all sinners? Of course we are. Do we have enough love in each other, for each other, to cover those sins with love? Christ certainly did. He loved us all and died for our sins. We really shouldn't go about saying things to make the gospel look bad either. Don't mistreat them. Don't be proved guilty of doing or saying something wrong or doing unloving things about a gossip. We still have to treat them with love. Love covers all sin. We shouldn't say bad things about others because they say bad things about others, or they say things about us. You don't necessarily have to return the favor. Just ask yourself, what would or does God want me to do? How does God want me to handle it? How would Jesus Christ respond? Proverbs 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. I'll just quote these for you. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Do we seek love in our conversations? Do we seek love in how we deal with each other on a daily basis? But he that repeats a matter, he that repeats a sin or whatever it is, separates very good friends. Here we see the contrast between love and gossip. Which way do you choose? What do we choose? Will we choose to show love or to gossip? So our responsibility is not to repeat gossip, don't listen to it, and in a loving way, shut up the gossiper. So let's strive to stop gossip by not listening or repeating it. Brethren, gossip is never acceptable to God. Even if you think it's acceptable, doesn't matter. It's not acceptable to God. Don't be the link in the chain that propagates or continues to slander or spread gossip. Gossip is a cancer that can and will infest the body of Christ if we allow it to. Let's be part of the cure for that cancer, that scourge that we know is gossip. If we will, God will honor us. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? Will we? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. God has a special place for those that lead a blameless life and are truly sincere in their love for one another. Those that refuse to slander others, those that don't listen to gossip or speak gossip and walks uprightly in the eyes of God, doesn't do anything to harm his neighbor, those are the ones that's going to be in God's kingdom that will dwell in the tabernacle of God. So God takes gossip very serious, and so should we. So gossip is as sinful as murder, and we should suffer the same consequences unless there is repentance. These are just a few things that we've gone over. God holds you accountable in your words. The person who gossips to you about others also gossips to others about you. Gossip and slander disqualifies persons for spiritual leadership. Gossip often masks as pretentious concerns. Gossip often thrives upon secrecy. Where secrecy is removed, gossip is hampered. Gossip always contributes to a problem and never to a solution. Gossip always distorts and exaggerates and is never a reliable source of truth. Those who gossip and slander are not in the right fellowship with God. Gossips use their mouth as a weapon which is aimed at people to fulfill Satan's desires to steal, kill, and destroy each and every one of us. So finally, brethren, as we wind down here, let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication... You know, I would certainly put gossip in that category. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Everyone that hears whatever you say, they should take that information and it should be good for them. It should be edifying and uplifting to them. We have to learn to control what comes out of our mouth, because it reveals what's in our heart. We must make sure our words are used to lift up, to edify, and to ultimately glorify God. Brethren, as we're told in Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Like golden apples in silver settings, so is a word spoken at the right time. Right words can be spoken, but they have to be spoken at the right time. A timely or appropriate word is like words of wisdom from God. So the next time someone comes to you and says, "Guess what I heard?" Ask them the questions, is it true? Is it positive? Is it uplifting and edifying? If it's not, run fast and far. Brethren, may God help us as we strive to avoid in every way the ugly and destructive sin of gossip.